This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 249, Blade 2 from 2002. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is...
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
All right, everybody. We are continuing the road down on Blade, the franchise of Blade from Marvel Studios. I don't think it was studios, right? It was just Marvel?
Not even. This was from New Line, which is, of course, Warner Brothers owns New Line, and it was just like Marvel. It was like an adaptation based on the Marvel character. It wasn't even like the Marvel logo. It doesn't even appear.
Yeah. Anyway, with that said, Nate, how long has it been since you've seen Blade 2?
It's been a while. It's funny. It's not one that I rewatch that often. I don't rewatch this series that often, but I like the first two movies quite a bit. 5 or 6 years since I've seen it.
Yeah, like for me, it's been ages because when I have the DVD, you know it's been ages.
Yeah. When you showed that picture, I'm like, DVD? Yeah. At least I got it on Blu-ray.
But you know, it's funny though. My TV, it looked great. And there was other movies that I saw DVD look horrible. Like that Ballistic versus X, X versus X. That looked horrible. But I will say this. I will defend Blade 2 on my my TV. Because it looked legit. I was like, okay, it looked great. It does not look like a Blu-ray. And of course, it doesn't look. But it looked like a 1080. It looked
like
1080.
The best version of a computer.
It looked best.
Like if you're streaming it on a computer at the highest quality.
And you knew shit was going to go down because of the back of the box. It says... It says graduating to the future of tech, and it says available animated menus.
Wow. I mean, thanks for that. Thanks for that.
The future animated is here, and then it says menus. Animated. I said, wow. I said, this movie's going to be legit now. But I'm not going to lie. DVDs, I know we're not covering like physical media stuff, but I got to say is DVDs have some great menus compared to what we get for 4Ks.
DVD is the best format for everything but picture and audio.
Yeah.
It's the best.
I agree.
It has the most amount of titles. It has the best packaging. It had the best menus, special features loaded, like a million features. It's just, if you want to watch a movie in 2023, it looks and sounds the worst. So I agree with you. DVD was a pinnacle of home, you know, viewing as far as overall, but the picture is just, I'd be watching DVDs and I'm like, sometimes it's just a little rectangle in the middle of my screen. I have to like zoom it to make it even fit because it's
weird. Well, this one was widescreen and it took the entire... Well, you saw the photo I sent you. It was widescreen and the sound was DTS 6.1 and my Sonos was off the hook. I was like, whoa. I was like, this is a DVD? I was like, okay. I was like, this looked... I had to lower it a bit because it was kind of... It was actually really loud. And I don't say that much for DVDs. But this one, I will defend this one. But anyway, with that said, let's get right into what the critics and the audience have to say about Blade 2.
Let me tell you something. This is pretty surprising. I am surprised with this... With these scores, both of them. This critically has a 57% and audience score has a 68%. Now, these sound closer to Kick-Ass 2 than to Blade 1, which is kind of odd to me. But you know what? That's what the critics thought. Then that's what those people who wrote reviews on Rotten Tomatoes thought, at least.
You know what? I'm just going to say here. I think I'm gonna make this t-shirt.
Movie.
I'm gonna make this t-shirt. I am gonna make it. I'm gonna put fuck the critics.
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna put our team fuck the critics. Because you know what? There's no way a critic can sit down and explain to me why this one is not better than the first movie. It doesn't matter. I mean, you guys already got it for two spoilers already for two episodes before. We already think this is the best one in the franchise. So
we couldn't help. We try not to usually, but we couldn't help ourselves.
We couldn't help it. So there's no way a critic can sit down and tell me how bad this movie is compared to like the other stuff that's coming up. But anyway, I'm very surprised. I'm very shocked that this is not higher than Blade 1. But I just got to read up on some stuff on why. We got to pull that up or something later down the road. But with that said, Nate, let's just get right into a lead character. Wesley Snipes is back as Blade.
Yeah, so I gave him a 5 in the first movie. I thought he was awesome. In this movie, he's pretty much the same, except now he has like a little bit more comedic moments to him. He's a little more sarcastic, you know, he's a little bit more snarky. The part where he's like, where he's talking to the blood pack, and he's like, I'm standing right here. And he's like, woo, and he starts getting like the chills, and oh my God, I love it so much. I love his interactions with Reinhardt, who's played by Ron Perlman. I mean, come on, Ron Perlman. If it's a Guillermo del Toro movie, there's a 50-50 shot you're going to see Ron Perlman in I'm not going to lower the score. Sure. Did they add anything to super develop him more? No. He had not a love interest, but him and the girl had a little bit of a dynamic. I'll say that.
Yeah.
And I never got like super love interest vibes, but they had a good dynamic. The stuff with Whistler, it's pretty good, but it's a little undercooked. But overall, I don't think they did anything to make him worse. Like when we talked about Kick-Ass 2, where the lead character was worse. So I'm going to stick with my 5. I liked him. Plus, he was great in the action scenes. And actually, I think, and I'll save it for the action scenes, but as far as Wesley Snipes go, I feel like he got to do way more hand-to-hand combat in this where you could really see it good. So that's a 5. I'm leaving with the 5.
I will say this, okay? I will say this because my boy Blade. I gave him a 5. I had to give him a 5. I was like, you know what? I like him this version than the first version. Now, the first one was more serious, and they were trying to hone in and see if the IP will take off, which it did.
Yeah.
But I like this version of Blade because there's some scenes in the I laughed my ass off. I was like, you know what? It's very witty, but I loved it. Remember when Norman Reedus, they were dissecting the whatever the hell it is, right? They're dissecting it.
The Reaper?
Reaper, right? They're dissecting it. And he's like, oh my God. He's like, oh my God. Right? And then what did Blade do? Blade was like, stop being a little bitch.
Yes.
Or he said, stop being a sissy. It was one of those things, but it was like so witty and it came out of the blue. I was like, what? I was like, okay. And there was a lot of other stuff, like when Ron Perlman's in front of him and he's going, he's like, see if you can take this hot. And he slapped the shit out of him. Yes. And I was just like, nah, well, that's the scene in the
club with the lasers, where he's pointing the laser at him, and then he looks over and Blades, and then he just smiles at him. He's also pointing the laser at him. It's great.
Yeah, it's a fun, I like that Blade, the fighting.
A little more personality in this one.
Yeah, and I liked the Whisker. We could talk about it a little bit. Oh, no, it's more storyline. But with Whisker, I will say this. You could see the attachment between him and Blade. Like I didn't know the ending of Russia was him going to get him from a capsule, right? Because we all thought he blew himself up, right?
Yes.
Because I was going to text you. I was like, didn't he shoot himself? But I guess the popularity, they had to figure out how to bring him back. So, and my man Guillermo del Toro was like, we could bring him back, bro. We can bring him back. And they did. And I thought it made sense. I said, you know what? I don't know how the hell the cure helped him out because he was bit and he was in a Wolverine tank for 2 years or so. But
in a blood water tank.
Thought it was, the blood water tank. So for me, I think Blade is I'm really digging. I hope Marvel Studios, when they resurrect this character, I hope it's not a fucking character that they wait 10 years for another sequel if it does good. Mm-hmm. Like, I hope they hit the ground running and keep, because I think a lot of people will love this IP and want to see more from this. Because after watching 2, I was like, man, I want to see 3. And we already know what 3 is. But I just like that whole character. I don't know why. I just like that mystery around Blade. But with that said, we both gave it a 5. Let's get to the lead villain here. Now, I don't know his name. I'll give it to you, but this dude is legit.
Okay. So this guy, and I know his last name. Let me just pull up his first name again so I can. It is Nomak. Okay, it's just listed as Nomak. Now,
Nomak.
He is, of course, played by another Del Toro guy who's been in a couple of his movies. Luke Goss. Yeah, he was also the villain in Hellboy 2, The Golden Army, the elf.
The one that looked like Tom Cruise.
Yeah, with the long hair and the...
Yeah. I thought it was Tom Cruise.
He's a Del Toro guy.
Okay.
Is he the best actor? No. Because he just kind of... He just does that thing of he talks like this. However, the dude is physically a great actor. He's a martial artist, so he gets fight scenes. And let me tell you something. If you didn't like Deacon Frost, let's say you watch Blade 1 and Deacon Frost didn't work for you. You're like, he's okay. You know, he's not horrible, but he's okay. This villain is way better. I love Nomak. He is great. I love his motivation. I love that he freaking was created by the oldest vampire guy, and it's his son, and he pretty much just wants to get revenge. And yeah. you know, here, if you listen to this podcast, you know we love some revenge. And at times, I'm rooting for the guy. I'm like, yeah, I hope he gets his revenge. You know, I hope Blade still kills him, but I hope he gets his revenge first. And wouldn't you know it, he does. And I love it. It was great. Look, it's a cool design. He looks cool as hell. He's yeah. not just another vampire. He is a vampire of vampires, if that makes any sense. Like, he doesn't eat people. He specifically targets vampires, right? So you got the classic, you know, and they say the line in the movie, which I wish they didn't, but it's the classic enemy of my enemy is my friend type thing. Except in this, the enemy of my enemy is also my enemy. They're all enemies, and I love it. No friends here. No friends. So yeah, Nomak is great. Lukas, good performance. You know, acting-wise, nothing sensational, but great motivation, great fighting skills, formidable. They fight multiple. See, this is what I'm talking about, Alex. What? And this does happen more in comic book movies than other genres. But let your villain and your hero fight more than once. You don't have to only ever have them fight at the very end. They fight in the middle, in that church thing, on those boards and stuff. Then they fight again at the end. I loved it. Five. A great villain, honestly. I absolutely... He's the best villain in the franchise, easily.
Oh, hands down, the best. I mean, I wish he ran away and never died. But same. I like the character. I agree with you a lot. This, you could have them fight twice in a movie. You could have it where the hero gets his ass beat the first time, and at the end he knows how to overcome the villain. Like, I don't mind that shit. Sometimes it happens in a 007 movie where they, remember with Javier Bardem in Skyfall? He didn't fight 007, but he caught him once, and then at the end he killed him with the knife in the back. But I agree with you. This dude is awesome. And I totally forgot, like I said, it's been a while since I seen this movie, so I totally forgot what they do. And when I found out that this dude kills these dudes and they all come back to life, it was like a zombie movie. Yo, Guillermo del Toro, bro, I don't know why they can't bring him back to do another one. I mean, I know Marvel Studios is gonna have
Oscar movies now.
Yeah, he has freaking women banging fishes and whatever his fetish is. I don't care, bring him back for another freaking another Blade movie, dude. Like, he was so good, dude. Like, I like the villain. The villain, you're right, his motivations was way better than DK. DK Frost. He's Spanish.
DK Frost.
DK Frost, right? Like, I didn't care for his motivation. I cared for this guy's motivation. Because I was like, you know what? Him and Blade has the same motivation, kill the vampires. Right? Like, that's what they would, that's what pretty much. True. But then you had, like, I don't know, man. It was just so good. I don't know. I liked it. I thought the whole fight, the fight was cool.
Yeah.
But certain CGI stuff was just a little,
I mean, it didn't work. It was dated.
Yeah. You know, when he did the elbow smash from, like, the upper deck of the building.
He's the Macho Man elbow on him.
He did the snooker. He was just like, woo.
Super fly,
no man.
He's like, woo,
boom. The fight was cool. He's all around the best villain. Yeah. Actually, the best creature in this movie creation from the world of his mind.
Now, should we also mention, you did have a second, you also had that old guy, we'll mention him, was...
The father?
The dad, his name was Damaskinos. Now, he was played by Thomas Kretschmann, who I didn't recognize him with the makeup. He's been in a bunch of stuff. If you looked him up without the makeup on, you will know this guy. He was in an Avengers movie. He's been in a million things. But, you know, you also had the old vampire guy who was also a villain because he's creating all these alternate vampires. I wouldn't give him a five, but I thought he fit like in Underworld. Those old ancient vampire who's... I'd probably give him like a four. He doesn't fight because he's old. That's why they're a little bit different. But he was a cool villain, too. It just had better villain category, period. The Blood Pack, you know, it was all of them.
They were good, but I liked them all, man. When they all came out running, they were like, He was like, we gotta get out of here. I was like, that was cool. That scene in the subway alone, I was like, this is going to be getting a lot of fives up in this piece. Because that was like, that scene alone, he was like, you guys gotta run. Pops the thing. He said, come on, suckers. And he's shooting everybody. And I was like, I love me some Blade. Yeah. But anyway, we gave it a five across the board. All right. I already know where you're going to go with this.
Yeah.
Action.
Five. I don't even know that was coming. Five. Look, I gave the first movie a five as well. Where I will differentiate the two, I think they're both fives. I think the first movie visually, some of the action is a little bit better shot. Because if you remember in my review there, I said, I think Stephen Norrington did a really good job of making Blade look super cool, especially in a lot of those action scenes. And I stand by that. I think they're great. I think they are extremely well shot. This one, Del Toro shot them great too, but it's different. And you're right. The one thing that I would say I don't love is some of the CGI. You know, it's 2002 CGI. It comes with the territory. I'm not going to hold it against it because when I watched this in 2002, I didn't think, oh, that looks silly.
Yeah.
Because it was a newer technology. It was different. You know they're not real. I thought the CGI looked better at the first scene when the vampires like come into the facility and they're like swinging on the top and they fight in front of the lights. Yeah, the stealth part. Yeah. Like, it was less egregious there than at the end fight with Nomak and him. But Wesley Snipes, let me just tell you. This guy, he had some cool fights in the first one. But Del Toro really let him, like, do his martial arts thing in this movie. And shoot him in a way where you could just literally see him, what he's doing. Yeah. Right from the beginning, when he's fighting the Russian dudes at the beginning, that's like a nice set piece. When he's fighting through with all the guys at the end, with the Reaper people. Every fight he gets to do, he gets to really shine. I thought that was great. But yeah, the thing is, this one has more action than the first one as well. So even if it's not as extremely well shot, I honestly don't think it is. I think it is still well shot, but there's a lot of it. And it was great. 5.
You know, there was no way. There's no way you could give it a 4. There's no way. No. All right, this is a 5. I mean, this is like Johnny 5 is alive. This is a 5. Yeah. This joint is off the hook. I'm telling you, I totally forgot how good this shit is in action. This felt like an action movie, dude, with swords and shit. The scene that I got mad at and Angelina she woke up and she was like, shut up. I was going all crazy was when the stealth dudes you were talking about came and he fought those dudes without even unhinging his sword. And he's just going like this. He's going pat, pat, pat. And he's picking his leg up and then he's whooping ass. And I was like, oh, shit. I was like, oh, baby. And I was like this. And I was just like, okay. I was like, where's the 4K for this movie?
Right.
Where is the 4K? You give me Slumber Massacre of 10 in 4K, but we don't get Blade 2 in 4K. Yeah. Like, I'm like, this is crazy. Like, that scene alone was hot. The one that you said in Russia was hot. The one in the facility where my man fell in the Bata tank and came up, and just started whooping dudes with electricity.
Once he falls in the steroids.
Steroids. Yes. Oh, yes. I loved it. This movie is the highest peak of Blade whooping ass you ever gonna get to see in a movie. Now, I don't know what movie Marvel Studios is gonna give us, but Guillermo del Toro, this is his type of world, dude. I think this is why Hellboy is so good, because you can see the stamps of Guillermo del Toro in this, even in action. Like the scenes with him fighting, yeah, they're close up, but then he pans them back when he's fighting 8 of them. You're like, oh, hell yeah. It's not no Jason Bourne in your face.
Yeah.
I love the way the creatures look when they're fighting, when the thing opens up and all the mouths. And I was like, and he picks the spots that are so right to utilize the CGI and the practical. And I was just like, man, I was like, they should have never let this guy go. They should have locked him up to the third one and finish it off.
Yeah.
But they did not. And I think, man, the actions. Oh, and the one with the motorcycle. That was a crazy scene, too, with the motorcycle. Oh, I was like, jeez. Yeah. When he throws the thing and he grabs it and then he kicks the guy and then he takes the guy's head and put it in the helmet into the bike.
That was the first CGI part where he was Neo. He did that jumping.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Flip. But you know what? It didn't look as bad. No, whereas when he was fighting the people with the with the light, there was some scenes with CGI. When you see them, I was like, really they don't. Yeah, I said that don't look good. But I like the way he switches it back super fast, so it doesn't feel like it's on it like the Matrix 24/7. So anyway, I mean, hands down. Oh, and then the scene that the guy was like, I forgot to tell you, the bomb is stuck, and this dude is just shooting dudes in the head.
Yeah,
and he's like, and he kicked it. Oh, I loved it. And then the other one, when he tells the girl to run, and she's running, and then he throws the bomb, and he just takes the sword out, and he just pulls in, and I said, oh, my God. I'm going clack, 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 clack. I was like, that looks hot. And then when the thing blew up, they all came out, and he was like, shang, 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 shang. I said, oh, my God. I was like, if I ever see Guillermo del Toro, I'm kissing that dude right in the cheek. And I'm like, you gave me one of the best Blade movies ever.
He probably
ever.
Let you, too. He seems like a nice guy. I think he will.
I think I'm taller than him, but he'll be like, you go. Yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, fun fact, you know he keeps all the props of his movies in his house.
Oh, I'm sure. He's a big nerd.
Yeah.
Guillermo del Toro is a super nerd.
I think he might have the open mouth, like, vamps in his house somewhere. So that would be pretty cool. But anyway, five across the board.
Yes.
Storyline.
All right. Well, it's not always all rainbows and flowers sometimes. So let me dial it back a little bit here. I do think the storyline's better than the first one. So I did give it 1 point higher. It's not a five for me. I have a couple of issues. I gave it a four, though. I think it's really strong. Way better than the first. It's never boring. That's a plus. This movie, it's a little bit shorter than the first one. It moves at a way better pace than the first one. So the storyline is better paced. I do not like the Whistler thing. I do not like it. It doesn't make sense. He is in the first movie. Blade walks away. He shoots the gun. What did he do? Just shoot it in the air? What is that? It's stupid. Why did he do that? If he was going to turn into a vampire, like, why would he keep himself alive? I don't know. I didn't like it. They brought him back. I love Kris Kristofferson. I actually like him in this movie. Like, I don't like why he's there. But once he's there and you have to deal with him, he's hilarious in this movie. I love when he calls. I used to say it to my brother all the time. So that's how you know I have seen this movie a lot. But when he calls Ron Perlman a nipplehead, it's one of the funniest things that some of us can't see in the dark, you nipplehead. So funny. So the screenplay is solid. I think the humor is better in this one. It has humor. You know, the first one, every now and then Blade said something a little bit, but not really humorous. This one has more humor, but I don't like that storyline. Also, there's a lot of characters in this movie, and so they're not all super developed. Actually, I would say most of them are not developed at all because there's just so many of them. So you have to take a trade, right? Like, okay, we can move this movie quick, introduce you to people, you'll see them, they fight, they live, they die, whatever, and it could be an hour and 50 minutes, or we could make it really long and develop everybody and you get bored. I'm okay with what they did as far as the pacing, but everything just feels like slightly underdeveloped, but it makes up for it in all the other aspects for me. So for the storyline, I did give it a four. I think it's strong, mostly because of the villain stuff. You know, like his storyline, I think is great. It's a great counterpoint to Blade. Yeah, so a four for me.
Yeah, well, I mean, when it comes to story, I gave it a four also. I thought it was a good storyline. Now, the thing with the Whisker, I was with you there. I was a little confused, but he was there. I did like that whole mystery. You did not know if he was good or bad. Like, I like the way they were toying with you there. I mean, we all know he was good, but I like the way they were doing that. Like, he was like, where were you when everyone was getting attacked? And then he was just like, well,
I had a little Reaper action myself.
Yeah, and then they made it think twice, like, if you think Blade was going to be, like, he's going to go against Whisker. So, like, I liked that whole thing. I did like the whole revenge story with Nomad. I liked the sister thing. I thought that was pretty cool with her and Blade when she was like, welcome to the sun. And he was just, like, taking there. I thought that was pretty cool. I did like all the other guys, but you're right, they didn't utilize them as much, but I did like them. Like, I did not know they had Danny Yang, and he was young and jacked in this movie.
He doesn't even say one single word. He has zero lines.
And he gets killed, like, mad quick.
off screen. Yeah. He's, like, not even on screen.
Yeah, he gets killed quick. Then they have Marcus from Underworld, so I guess this is where he gets bit by Elder.
You also had Vince from Fast and Furious as Chupa.
His name was Chupa. Yeah, Chupa. You had a lot of people.
In Spanish?
Like, yeah, Chupa, yeah. He's very clever, I guess.
Guillermo del Toro said, look, I'm Mexican. We're going to call this guy Chupa because he's a vampire.
Chupa. Chupa.
Yeah. Chupa.
Yeah, so I think the storyline was actually very... I thought this storyline was way better than the first one. Not boring. I was more engaged with this storyline, but I was mad jacked into the action. So it was a best hybrid between the two worlds, a storytelling with the action. So I gave it a four. You gave it a four. All right, overall.
Overall, I love this movie. I think it's great. I don't find it to be perfect, mostly because of the storyline. But I will tell you this. This one has a great cast, a better cast than the first one. You know, like I said, you got Thomas Kretschmann under makeup. You got Norman Reedus. And this was after Boondock Saints, but, like, before any, like, Walking Dead or any of that kind of stuff. So young Norman Reedus. You got Ron Perlman. He's an MVP. He is a Guillermo del Toro MVP. He really is. Like, every time he's in a movie, anytime he's not in a del Toro movie, I'm kind of mad. I'm like, well, where is he? Like, Bring him out. That's his guy, you know? So you got a cool cat. Oh, and then like you said, Donnie Yen. You got Chupa, who's, I only know him as Vince from Fast and Furious. And he was the bad guy in the Transporter 1. That was the other thing he was
in. Right, that's right.
You know, he was that early 2000s guy. He was in like a bunch of early 2000s movies. But anyway, good cast. Good direction, fun storytelling. Out of all the Del Toro movies, I'm a big fan of his. I've seen all his movies. I own them all. I would say this is like bottom tier as far as like Del Toro-ness. You know what I mean? Okay. It's not as fantasy as his other movies, but you could still see his fingerprints on it, which I like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He was like, okay, look, I'll make your movie, Warner Brothers. Let me do that. I felt almost like, it almost feels like it was him practicing doing a comic book movie so he could do Hellboy.
What he wants to do.
Exactly. To me, that's my opinion. But he's so good. He's just so good at directing that the movie's awesome anyway. Even when it's not like his precious baby. So yeah, I give it a 4.5. I didn't give it the 5 because of the story is like, it's good, but it holds it back from being a 5 out of 5. You know what? I'm going to give it a 5. I'll give it a 5 out of 5. I think it's great. I love it. I changed my mind. I was like, it's a favorite. It's my favorite of the series. I'm just going to round it up. So 5 for me. Change my mind right on the fly.
Matching you. It doesn't matter because I was going to give it a 5 anyway. I think it's the best one. I mean, yeah, it has flaws. Yeah, but I don't give a shit, bro. This joint has action and I loved it.
From my heart, not my brain.
Yeah, I loved it. I didn't care. I was really into it. I loved when he went into the blood bank in the beginning, Nomad.
Oh, yeah.
And the bum guy is like, you get money, man. And he was just like, all right, cool, dude. Thanks, and then he went. Yeah, and then the guy with the claws came out. They all started laughing, and he was like, oh, you think he's laughing at me? I'm laughing at you.
Yep.
Tore them all up, and I was like, yeah, I love this.
Splattered that blood on the wall.
Yeah, you're right. One thing I would say, though, man, I mean, maybe it could be too late, but imagine Guillermo del Toro doing a Batman movie.
It's never too late.
Oh, I mean, he's got Matt the
dark
Reeves,
sensibilities.
So.
He would want to do a weirdo villain like Man-Bat or something like that. He would
I can see Man-Bat. Yeah, or the like Night Killer Owl. Croc. What is it? The Court of Owls. Like that whole storyline.
I just know he loves creatures. So I could see like Killer Croc or Man-Bat.
Scarecrow.
Yeah. Scarecrow. He would nail Scarecrow. Absolutely. Oh, he would knock it out of the park easily.
Yeah. And the Oscar goes to Guillermo del Toro.
That's right. <He's> best director.
Yeah. that could work. But yeah, in terms of, I think this has the best pack. The music is off the hook in this movie.
The freaking, what is that? Massive Attack song with Mos Def? Oh my God, it's the best. It's the best.
Oh, I loved it. When they went into that club, they were like,
hear Mos Def. I'm like, is this Mos Def? It is. And then they played over the credits again. I'm like, sick. I love it.
Most definitely, this is a good soundtrack. Mm-hmm. It was really good. I thought it was really well done. Everything was from the score, the music, fighting. Everything was so good. So with that said, gave it a 5. You gave it a 5.
Yeah, right, so we should have the same exact total, 24 out of a 25. 24. If that story was just a little bit more fine-tuned, we'd be talking about a perfect score here. The best Blade movie there's ever been. Good luck to Mahershala Ali. I like him, so I am interested to see what he does. But this one is just the best. It's going to be tough. And granted, if you've never seen this movie, if you're listening to this review and you haven't seen it, or somehow you haven't seen it in a really long time, this movie's very 2002. Very. But I was like 15 when this came out. You can't tell me this wasn't the perfect movie for 15-year-old Nate, because it was. So 24 for me.
I will say this. Is Mahershala Ali, dude, a martial artist?
I don't know.
So he's going to be basically learning how to fight.
Could be training. Yeah. And if he trains hard, great. He has the look. He has the voice for Blade. Wesley Snipes is a martial artist, so
he looks really natural. He looks really natural. So, all right. Yep. Good luck to him on that. All right, Nate, what's going to be on next?
All right, next up, we got another sequel. So another 2. This is the Raid 2, so I call this week Braid 2 because we got Blade 2 and Raid 2. We're going to be doing a little Raid 2 on our next episode. And then next week, finally wrapping up the Blade series with the final trip of Wesley Snipes, Blade Trinity, starring Wesley Snipes. Triple H. I know there's other people in it, but Triple H is in it. So I always have to point it out. I haven't seen this movie in 15 years. I don't know when it came out, but it's been like 15 years since I've seen it. So me and Alex will be breaking that one down for you next week.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one in God knows when. Instead, I think maybe the theater.
Whenever it came out, that's when I saw it.
Yeah, I mean, this was 2002.
So 4 or 5. I guess I'll have to rent it.
Yeah. Well, with that said, guys, you guys want to follow us in our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Netflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Netflix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie, guys, head over to youtube.com/geeksandflicks for the video version of the podcast, or head over to Instagram at Action Movie Guys Podcast for the latest news on action movie podcasts. Other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and that is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, guys, be awesome to each other and geek out.